I said to Nunzi before we started this morning that I wanted to preach or speak earlier than normal. And I think now would be a good time to stop. And that'll let Dave fix the lead that keeps crackling at the same time. Because we're going to have some more worship once I've finished speaking this morning. Hallelujah. Little bit of a different message this morning. It's going to be a little bit of testimony, a bit of teaching, because as ever I'll use the word, a bit of vision, a bit of what is going to be happening in the future. Once I tell you more, you'll find out that this is quite an eventful day in the life of our fellowship. Exciting things are happening, but it's going to be good. Amen. Lots of good things happening in this place, in this town, in this country. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are wonderful. You are mighty. You are awesome. You are a wonderful God. I thank you for being able to come this morning and sing about your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll be able to do that again. Lord, I thank you that we've now come to look at your word, look at scriptures. I thank you for scripture. Also, Lord, I thank you for testimony. The word says we are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. So I thank you for that. And I thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for this scripture, our holy scripture. And I just pray that every seed that is thrown out this morning from this book, this word, goes deep into our hearts. That it's understood so that the enemy can't steal it away. And that it bears fruit that we so desire. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes, it's going to be a different kind of message this morning. It's very interesting. I was going to say you can see some strange faces around, but that's not, there's strange faces here every week. Don't worry about that. Lovely to see new faces, different faces. So welcome this morning if you're here for the first time, if you're visiting us. That's wonderful. Good to see you. Good to see a lot of old faces as well. Amen. Take that any way you want. Hallelujah. I'll start with a little bit about me, because a lot of this morning is about me. I'm the pastor. I'm allowed to stand up at the front and speak about me. So just a little bit of a background, because there's quite a few people that mightn't know me. I've been pastor here at MGF for nearly 5 years. Before that, I was a reverend. Yes, Reverend Cameron. Don't get to use that title now, but I did. Before that, I was Reverend Cameron at the Church of God. Felt led to leave the Church of God for various reasons and start up this fellowship. We started in our house, myself and Nunzi's house. We then moved into the little hall in Arvis. We were there for a couple of years, 18 months. And then we felt led to Lossie. We're looking for a place in Lossie, couldn't find anywhere. And then Nunzi prayed a prayer. Well, let's just wait for the doors to open. Next day I went for a walk. I was walking around that way because I was going to get my breakfast at the... Yeah, always breakfast. Isn't it great? There's always breakfast in the church, especially if you're a man. Men's breakfast. So I was going to get my breakfast. I came around the corner and these doors were wide open. And I'd emailed the guy here, phoned the guy, never got a response. So I thought, doors open. Came in, walked up the door, here he was. Can I have my church here on a Sunday morning? Yes, when would you like to start? Okay, we'll start next week. So the elders were okay. I took a pastoral decision. I'll do that now and again. And we've been here for three years in May. And it's good. I also have a little teaching ministry. It's little at the moment. A little teaching ministry called Healing Word. Healing, it's a pun on the word Highlands and healing. Going to have a little strap line or whatever you call it. Healing from the Highlands. That's good. Well, I'm glad. God, somebody likes it. Well, it had to be because you love it. Thank you. So healing word ministries, I do a daily devotional online, starting to make recordings, thinking about doing a discipleship course. There's lots of things. and I'm a barley geek. I work for Diageo. Diageo is the biggest distilling company in the world. I've worked with Diageo for 23 years. I've got a fancy title, Laboratory Services and Cereals Manager. I manage a team of 20 people. I look after all the labs in our company, all two. But it sounds good when I say I look after all the labs, all two. And I buy barley at the harvest. I'm responsible for buying, getting malt in from non-group suppliers. Lead a team of 20 people. I've got quite a high-powered job. And I'm juggling these at the moment, as well as trying to manage my household. My wife's here. My eldest daughter's over there. So married to Nunzi. Love her to bits. Got three great kids. Val, Lise and Jay, beautiful granddaughter Lydia. So I'm a busy man. And the Lord's been speaking to me recently. I'm really speaking, well, not speaking more intently. I think for the last 10 days I've been listening to him. You know, the Lord speaks to you all the time. And suddenly, oh, the Lord's speaking to me. You know, the Lord is speaking to us all the time. But we suddenly think, oh, the Lord's speaking to me. No, no, no. You're listening. You've started to listen. So we're starting to listen to the Lord really intently the last 10 days. He's led me to a lot of scriptures. So let's delve into the scriptures. Let's take you through a bit of a journey. Turn with me to Jeremiah 1:5. That's a little bit about me. Now let's get into the important bit. Let's get into the word. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Here's the Lord speaking to this man called Jeremiah, and he's saying, "I have a plan for you. I had a plan for you before you were born. And here's this plan. You're going to be a prophet unto the nations." Wonderful, if you're Jeremiah. The Lord had a plan for Jeremiah. Now let's look at Isaiah 49. Verse 1. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath me made mention of my name." And verse 5 says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant." So here's another guy. Another guy with a funny name. This guy's called Isaiah. And he's saying, the Lord had a plan for me. He's ordained me to be something. And he had this plan from before I was born. That's great. If you're Isaiah, Isaiah had a plan. Jeremiah had a plan. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." This is the Lord speaking to the people. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. To give you a plan and a purpose." Here's the Lord saying to the Jewish people, "I've got a plan for you. I know what it is. It's going to be really good. It's not going to be evil. I know what that plan is. and I've set it in place for you, is what he's saying. That's great if you're a member of the Jewish nation. Is there anybody in here who's a member of the Jewish nation, or is Isaiah, or is Jeremiah? Well, yeah, okay. Everyone's getting all technical on me. Yeah. Does the Lord have a plan for you? Yeah, okay. Let me get to the next scripture. Does the Lord have a plan for me? Does the Lord have a plan for me? Does the Lord have a plan for us? Let's look at Acts 10:34. This is a great verse that you need to understand if you're looking at other parts of the Bible. I'm kind of taking verses, pulling them out of context here, but this is okay. It stands as I'm going to tell you here. You don't need to know the context. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now, don't worry about that. That doesn't mean that God doesn't respect you. Look at the Greek. That means God's got no favorites. Or to be even better, God has got lots and lots and lots and lots of favorites. He doesn't have favoritism of one over another. God is no respecter of persons. What God does for one, he does for the other. And he does for everybody. Jeremiah's got a plan. Isaiah has a plan. The Jewish nation has a plan. Vic has a plan. You all have a plan. God is no respecter of persons. He has a plan. Now let's go and look at Psalm 78, verse 41. I'm trying to build up a train of thought here, trying to link all these scriptures together. I am getting to the point. I'm kind of halfway down my list of scriptures. We'll be worshipping again soon. Hallelujah. Psalm 78:41. This is talking about the Jewish nation. They're in the wilderness. It's talking about the wilderness experience. "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." They limited the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to say something quite controversial now. Some folks might not agree with me, but we'll talk about it later. I'll back it up with scriptures. Do you know that God's will doesn't always come to pass? You know that God's will doesn't always come to pass? The things in this world that happen or don't happen are not always God's will. God has a plan. He has a purpose. It was not in God's plan or purpose for the Jews to wander for all those years through the wilderness. We kind of got a steer on that last week. Remember when Andrew Ollerton was preaching about Caleb? The land was there for possessing. Caleb and Joshua, let's just go and get it. I didn't care about all those big guys. I'm just after the grapes. You know, let's just go and get it. And that was God's plan. But 10 out of the 12 said, nah. Big giants. Not going. And they persuaded the rest of the Jewish nation. 40 years in the wilderness. Wasn't God's plan. God had a plan for the Jewish nation. And they limited him. God is no respecter of persons. God has no favorites. If the Jewish nation could limit God, we can limit God. We've got a plan and a purpose from God, but we can limit that by turning back, by going elsewhere, by looking at the physical instead of the spiritual, by throwing yourself into so many more things than the work of the Lord. We have a plan and a purpose, and we can limit the Holy One of Israel. And I need to stand before you this morning and tell you that I've got a plan and a call on my life, and I have been limiting the Holy God of Israel for that plan, for that purpose, for that calling. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I've got this passage highlighted in blue. I've got asterisks next to it, but I've not been doing it. You know, it's great having someone underlined in your Bible and highlighted and asterisked, but you've really got to live by that. Why do we limit God? How do we limit God? Well, we limit him by not trusting fully in him. We limit him by leaning on our own understanding, by leaning on our own strengths, our own things that we are good at, and not following his will, his plan, his purpose for our life. He shall direct thy paths. You know what that word does not say? That word does not say you will direct your paths. You know what that word says? That word says Vic shall not direct, shall direct his path. That does not say Vic shall direct his path. It's the Lord that does that. Why do we limit God? And what ways do we limit God? How do we limit God? We do it by looking at the physical rather than looking at the spiritual. This is all good stuff for you guys, by the way, but it's building up to what I've got to tell you. But this is good teaching for you guys as well. We limit God by looking at the physical and the carnal rather than looking at the spiritual and things of the kingdom. We look at paychecks and pension plans and share certificates rather than looking at the word that says he will be your provider. What is it? He's fed the sparrows, he clothed the lilies. You know, he's going to do so much more for you. The physical, we look at our own strengths. You know, what is it? Great at knowing stuff about barley is a real physical strength. What are the strengths that we need to use from the kingdom rather than our own strengths, our own wisdom, our own intellect? We limit God by doing that. Nancy's been preaching on it for a couple of weeks. Spiritual over carnal, spiritual over physical. Let's look at Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded, that's just thinking about the things of the flesh, things of this world, is death. Now that just doesn't mean physical death. That means death as in missing any of the blessings of God. In this context, death means lack of provision, it means depression, it means illness, it means not having joy, it means not feeling accepted, it means not feeling loved. If we're physically minded, carnally minded, it brings us death. If we're spiritually minded, if we think of the things of the kingdom, if we think of the things of the Lord, if we focus on him and his strengths and what he's got for us, what he's made for us, that is life and it's peace. And let me tell you guys, see when you start making decisions based on what's in the spiritual, oh, that brings you peace. Even when folk around you are thinking, you are a raving lunatic, it brings you peace. And it brings life. And in this sense, life, that means healing and wholeness and peace and acceptance and love. When you do things out of the spiritual rather than out of the physical. Paul talks about this in other places, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, I think. For our light affliction, oh, I could preach on that for weeks. We think we've got it bad. Look at what Paul went through, and he calls it a light affliction. Anybody been shipwrecked this week? Anybody been stoned to death? Because I believe he was stoned to death and came back to life. Scriptures not explicitly say that, but I believe that. Anybody been scourged and whipped 39 times this week? Anybody been in the deepest depths of the jail in stocks this week? Our light affliction is what Paul calls it. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. This is talking about spiritual and carnal. Don't look at the things you can see. Don't look at that sore toe for the any non-Scots amongst us. Don't look at your sore toe, don't look at your sore finger. You know, don't look at the things or the what you can see, but I look at the things that are not seen. Look into your spirit man and know that you have been healed of everything. Look into your spirit man and know that you have complete acceptance from God, that you are right in his eyes, that you have right standing, that you have unconditional forgiveness. Look at that. Look at that he is your provider. Look at that if he wants you to do something, he will provide for it. Look at those kind of things. Rather than the paycheck, salary stuff. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, just for the now, just here. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things of the kingdom of the Lord, they are forever. You know, in a million years, when you've been with the Lord for a million years minus what you've got left now. When you've been with the Lord for a long time, you're not going to remember how much you got a month. You're not going to remember how much you're not getting a month. You're not going to remember that kind of stuff. But the things of him is eternal. Last forever. Awesome. Writes a bit about it to the Colossians. Colossians 3. It's a recurring theme through Scripture, a recurring theme through the writings of Paul. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ. Anybody in here risen with Christ? Yeah. Are you born again? You should have had your hand up. If you're a believer, you've been risen with Christ. Hallelujah. So this is about you. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I could preach that for a long time as well. Why is he sitting? Because his work's finished. Yeah. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. So here's Paul again writing to the Colossians about what to look at, what to focus on, what is important. It's not the things down here on earth, it's the things above. He's talking about spiritual carnal. He's talking about things you can see, things you can't see. The important things are not the physical stuff here on earth. Man, they feel important sometimes, don't they? They feel really important sometimes, and they take all the focus that you've got. But it shouldn't be that way. We need to be focusing on the things of the spiritual and not on the things of the physical and of the flesh. And we all know what's of the flesh. And we all know what's of the spirit by looking through the word. Let's take a look at Matthew 6, 24. Again, I'm just going to pull this right out of context. I keep telling you guys never take scripture out of context. I'm doing it all morning. didn't it, but it fits in with what I'm saying, and it does line up with what I'm trying to teach you. Says Jesus speaking, "No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on the one and despise the other." Here's the biggie. You cannot serve God and mammon. Money. Provisions of the earth. Things of the earth. I look at this now, and this speaks to me of God, mammon. Spiritual, carnal. Things you can't see, things you can see. Things above, things of the earth. You cannot serve God and mammon. So everything that's been going on in my life, especially in the last 10 days, God has been talking to me about serving two masters. And I think it comes down to this. It's God, mammon. It's spirit. It's carnal. And he's put upon my heart that it's decision time. Decision time. If any of you have been with us for a while, you'll know that every 6 months I do a little presentation on the PowerPoint and show you all the pennies that have come in and all the pennies that have gone out. And if you remembered what I say, I stand here and point up all the money coming in, all the money come out, and I say, I've not taken a penny out of the church. And I've deliberately said that. And I thought that was good. But you know what? That was pride. I have to stand out in front of you this morning and say that was pride. What I was saying was, I haven't taken a penny out of the church because I can provide for myself. Because not only am I doing this, but I can work full-time for Diageo, where I'm a barley specialist, top of my field. And I get lots of money from Diageo. So you know what? I don't need God's money. That's what I've been saying in my heart. Another pastor started talking to me about this, and that was brought home just before Christmas. That this is a pride issue, Vic. You are, and it's not a really bad thing. You know, I work, I provide for my family, I put a roof over our head, I put food on the table. It's not a bad thing to do. But it was in pride. And it was because I could do that. And I was capable of that. And that was my strengths. And that was my intellect. I'd done the degree to get that job, to then get promoted to where I am, to earn this money. That was me. Who's the master there, God or mammon? Is that spiritual or is that of the flesh? So, the Lord's really been putting it on my heart lately about what I'm doing and how I'm living my life and who I'm trusting in and what I'm focusing on. And myself and Nancy have been praying about it and talking about it. And yes, it's decision time. And I have to tell you, I've resigned from Diageo. I've handed in my notice. I'm working my notice with the plan to go into and to go towards full-time ministry. Amen. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen straight away, because there's a biblical process, you know, first there's the blade, then the ear, then the corn on the ear. To go from the package that I'm on to go to working full-time ministry and living completely in faith, there's quite a big gap. So I don't know how we are going to get there. But that's not a problem. One step at a time. Paul is an example. Paul was told, go and see this guy. Go to this guy's house. Then Paul, go to Damascus. Go to the desert. Go to Philippi. Don't go there. Paul was given step-by-step instruction. He did something, and then he got the next instruction. Elijah was very much like that. Elijah didn't get the whole plan because he'd have completely mucked it up. I mean, he made a bad enough mess of stuff. As it was, when he was only given one thing at a time to do. He was told, your provision is there. Go to the brook and the ravens will feed you. What a lunatic. You know, if you do that. Well, give up being here where I've got some food and whatever. You want me to go there and the ravens are going to feed me. Yeah. And then once he went there and once he got that provision, then it kind of went on. You go next. He went to the widow's house. Did he next? Oh. And then he went there and then he did this and then he called down fire and then he did that. And then, you know. So Elijah kind of didn't know what was coming next. He just did the first step. The first step for him was going to that brook. And he's done it. The first step for me was to resign my secular job. And I've done it. With the complete agreement by my family, by the way. Even my mum was quite pleased, which was miraculous. Well, I took her out for dinner for a meal on the Friday afternoon. That was all the way. So I kind of told her what I was doing. And at first, what about money? How are you going to manage? What are you going to do? Blah, 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 blah. But then once she'd got over that and she saw that I was at peace and I was happy and I was okay about it, she said, are you happy? And I said, yes. And she said, well, that'll do for me. I know. And if you know my mom, that's like, that's miraculous, eh? So that step had to be taken. And now I've got loads of other steps to take. Probably going to be like Elijah and muck up a lot of them. Maybe not. Sorry? You rebuke that. Yes, you do that. You know. I've learnt from Elijah. Yeah, do what you're told. Yeah. That's the lesson from Elijah. Do what you're told. You know, the last thing that Elijah had to do was anoint Elisha. Because it's like, you haven't done what you're told. You're out of here. I need somebody new. So you kind of got to do what the Lord tells you. So that the decision's been made, and it's been wonderful. Since I've made the decision, I've had people come forward like out of the blue and say, I really feel like I want to partner with you. Guy came up yesterday. I was saying, I don't know what this is, Vic, but the Lord said just to come and talk to you about something. Somebody's saying, I want you to help me going forward in my ministry. I couldn't have done that if I'm working full time. So even this morning, I've been able to say, yeah, I'd love to do that. Because I'm going to be working more in the ministry, and that's what I want to do. Discipleship, mentoring, teaching. I want to do that. And folk coming forward saying, yeah, we want to help you. So I'm going to start moving towards full-time ministry. Don't know how I'm going to do it. Don't know how it's going to happen. Don't know when. I'm still in negotiation with my company. I'm contractually obliged to do 3 months, so I've got that date in. but some of them would quite like me to stay a little bit longer to put someone in place. So I'm open to negotiation. Now, do I start working a part-time job? I don't know. Depends on how many partners I get. Depends on how much I take out of the church. But there's scriptures for that. Let's look at 1 Timothy 5. And this is not the sales pitch coming now, by the way. We can joke. I will be asking for help. But I feel the Lord will lay it on people's hearts if they want to help the ministry. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." Now that's important. You notice there it doesn't say, "Let the elders that rule be counted worthy." There's a little bit of onus there on the elders or the pastors or the teachers, the preachers who are leading. And this is a scripture that I'll be trying to live by. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." And that is my heart's desire. You guys know me, to labor in the word and in doctrine. I want to teach this to change people's lives. I want to give them better doctrine. Doctrine's just what you believe. Doctrine can change your life. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." And that's really what's on my heart. My heart's desire is to teach the word. "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." I want to move to a place where I stop being paid for the physical things of this world. Buying barley, buying malt, making whiskey, making money for shareholders. I want to move to a place where I labor and I am paid for laboring in the word and doctrine. And that is the plan, that is the vision. How long it takes us to get there, we don't know. But that is the vision, and there'll be steps in between. Hallelujah. The laborer is worthy of his reward. And Luke 10, verse 7. Well, it's the start of Luke 10. Jesus is appointed people to go out, appointed disciples to go out and be the laborers to go out into the harvest. And in verse 7 he says, "The laborer is worthy of his hire." There's lots of scriptures, you know, when Paul took up offerings, there are scriptures that teach us we should be giving. And I've preached on that a while ago. We should actually be giving to those who labor for us in the word and in doctrine. And we do that. We give to who we class as our teachers, our laborers in the word and doctrine. It's a good biblical principle. Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38 talks about the just living by faith. Guys, that's what I really want to move into. I want to move into living by faith. It was amazing. We went to a men's breakfast yesterday, and this old guy there, 78 years old, gave us a lovely talk on, would you believe it, living by faith. Here's this old guy. He's retired from the ministry now. Well, as retired as he's ever going to get, I think, who worked for 35 years driving a van round selling Christian literature for no salary, living completely by faith. What an example. And he made it through listening to the Lord, looking at the spiritual rather than the physical. It can be done. You know, the word says there will be preachers, there are teachers and pastors amongst us. It's an anointed and an appointed role in the church. Jesus appoints pastors and teachers. But the word also talks about we should pay for them. And this is miraculous because I never thought I would be standing up here and saying that. Just ask Nancy how miraculous my change of mind has been in the last 10 days. We've been talking about this for a long time. The Lord's had it on my heart for a long time. I've not been listening. We birthed Healing Word Ministries in 2006. It was 8 years. It seems like a long time. Yeah, it's not a long time in terms of the kingdom, but this has been birthed, this has been there. But the change in my mind over the last 10 days has been miraculous. My trust was in my ability to generate income. My trust was in the company I worked for. My trust was in that paycheck that I was going to get on the 27th of the month every month. Doesn't matter what I've done, whether I've been on holiday or working hard or not working hard. My trust was in that. But the last 10 days, my trust has shifted. And it's now in the Lord. Don't know if I'm fully there yet. Have to be completely honest. There's still a couple of times I've actually been sitting there looking in the mirror and I say to myself, what have you done? But that doesn't last long. Peace is a wonderful thing. See, you can make a decision and not have 100% peace about it. But what you need to do is go in the way which has the most peace. And continuing working, there's more and more balls that need to be juggled in my life. And they've been kind of falling about. And someone is going to get permanently dropped. There's absolutely no way that it's going to be my ministry. So it has to be the secular employment. So now you guys know. We made the decision on Tuesday night. Handed my notes on Wednesday before I chickened out. In writing, and it's there. So you guys now know. I'll tell the rest of the fellowship who aren't here. And then we're going to start on a really exciting journey together. It's going to be awesome. There are so many things. We've had prophecies said over this place, about this place being a hub. You know, we're getting more people coming in and wanting to do things. I can see more spokes coming out of that hub. It is just wonderful. I need your prayers. I really want your prayers. I'll be talking with the elders about finances and stuff, and I'll be putting out things looking for partners. You know, if you feel led, hallelujah. If you don't, pray for me. But you know what? I firmly believe if the Lord says do something, he'll provide for you. Amen? I mean, he told Elijah, go to that brook and the ravens will feed you. It's like, folk must have thought, that guy's out of his box. I told my boss and she just looked at me and it was like, you're a raven lunatic. Folk at work have been good about it, but yeah, I can see it. I can see it in their eyes. Oh, I'm really happy for you, Vic. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, one lady said, oh, well, that's good, Vic. What's the salary? I told her, and she just, it was like, you're barking mad. That's looking on the physical. That is looking on the physical. That lady couldn't look on the spiritual and see that in my spirit I have already got all things. And that includes the provision for what I'm going to do. If this wasn't of God, this would be absolute lunacy. A lot of the times the things that are spiritual, the things that you do, look like lunacy to the eyes of the world. But they're not, if you think about it on spiritual level. terms, on eternal terms. I mean, we all, I'm sure you've done it as well, we all sit down at some points and think, oh, what am I doing with my life? One of the things that I was thinking about in the last week was, what is going to be my legacy? You know, a few bottles of Dull Ewan, a lot of share prices, you know, big share price for the Diageo. What would you want to put on your gravestone? Here lies Vic, who survived 40 harvests. You know, because that's what life seems to be like, lurching from one harvest to another. Here lies Vic, who survived 40 harvests, done it really well. Or here lies Vic, who may have made a, you know, changed the lives of a few people. You know what? It's not going to be a few people. It's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be a lot of people. We're going to have an awesome ministry here, and I say we. Because I look around this room, and I know I've got partners in here. I know that. One of the assurances from the Lord was that you have already got partners. Prayer, financial, yeah. The old pan of soup would be gratefully received. Hallelujah. So that's it, folks. That's where I am with my life at the moment. Nunzi's right behind me. Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Nunzi's right beside me. The kids are right beside me. Yeah. Lots of people right beside me. But, you know, more importantly, the Lord. Amen. Important as you are, darling, you're not number one importance. The Lord is right beside me. And he knows what he's doing. I mean, I've preached to you guys a lot about Psalm 139. And that's been especially important to me recently. There's that verse. Oh, what is it? Is it verse 8? I'm rambling on a bit now, but I'll talk about this and then that'll be us. Psalm 139. No, where's the one about, it's about his arm round you, and 10. Psalm 139, verse 10. I mean, I love all of Psalm 139. It's about how much God loves us and how much he thinks about us, and he thinks we're great, and it's wonderful. He made us, he created us. We're wonderful. It's great. But Psalm 139, verse 10 says, "Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Let me come up here a minute, babe. This is what the Lord's saying, that wherever you're going, thy hand lead me and thy right hand should hold me. Wherever you're going and whatever you're doing, this is what the Lord is doing to you. He's got one hand leading you and he's got the other hand holding you. And that's a scripture that I'm going to hold on to in the coming weeks and months and years, that wherever we go, the Lord's going to be holding my hand, leading me, and then holding me the other one. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's what that verse is saying, Marlon, isn't it? And the Lord's saying that to you as well, and all the stuff that you're going through just now, and all the things he's leading you to. He's saying, I'm holding your hand, and I'm holding you. So wherever you go, you're going to be with him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. You are wonderful. You are awesome. You are a mighty God, and you are worthy to serve and worthy to praise. You are so good to us. You have got great plans for us. You want the best for us. You wanted us to have an abundant life so much that you gave up your son, that he would die for us and be raised again. And I thank you now that he's seated at your right hand because his work is finished. We are complete in him. We have all things through him. We have been healed through him. We have been made prosperous through him. We have acceptance through him. All because of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are so interested in us, that you have a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. I just pray for a deeper and deeper revelation for every single one of us to know what that plan and that purpose is. I pray we'll walk into it. I pray that we'll not limit you, Lord. I pray that we look, all of us, look more to the spiritual than the physical. Look to the things above rather than the things of earth. Look to the things that can't be seen rather than can be seen. Because we want to serve you, Lord. And we thank you that through serving you, we can walk into that abundant life. We can walk into life and peace that you have already ordained for us. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll take communion now.